This is tape CAK93-1, Creativity, Art, and Kabbalah.
The interplays. What does that do? It's not such, not as easy as it may seem. Thoughts?
I felt like the shin was more mental,
mm-hmm.
and the mem was more heart connected.
More heart connected, yeah. More body.
Yeah, more body. Yeah.
Mem is associated with the lower body, particularly the base, the mm-hmm. pelvis and the legs, and the shin with the mind and the head and the. And Aleph, was it easy? What was it like to introduce the awareness of the space in between of the silence?
Peaceful.
There's a point between when the breath stops coming in and going out. Something happens in that little space. Like I keep going, then I resume breathing. Get to the top. Breathing stops, whatever it is keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Were people wanting to hang out in the silence, or were you wanting to get back into another sound? I felt mixed messages about that in the group. Some people mm-hmm. wanted to hang out in the silence, some people wanted to get on with the next sound. Mm-hmm. The mind wants to create more stuff. Silence of all of, as we feel more in tune with the mem consciousness. And once again, the mem consciousness is the awareness of oneness. Shin consciousness is awareness of distinctions. It's a normal state of our minds. And the Aleph is beyond both. And we probably don't get to the Aleph state of unity consciousness, certainly not from the shin, but we don't get to it without going through the chokhmah consciousness, the wisdom. In Hebrew, chokhmah, the mem refers to wisdom, and the shin refers to understanding, bina consciousness, understanding. We understand linguistically, we understand through distinctions. Wisdom doesn't depend on distinctions. And so, what's the interplay between wisdom and understanding? Sefer Yetzirah says, understand with wisdom, be wise with understanding. Suggests an interplay between shin and mem, And the interplay is the sense of oneness, the Aleph. Aleph is the Hebrew letter, it's silent, and it's the Hebrew letter for one.
Okay, one of the main topics I want to address tonight is inspiration. And inspiration as it relates to prophecy, or it was spoken of as Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. Okay. Divine inspiration. And I believe that all inspiration is part and parcel of the same thing. In whatever part of life, inspiration, whether it's religious or scientific or artistic, it all uses the same dynamics. And I think that inspiration also has a lot to do with health. It has to do with this state of balance. Okay? So bring out the pictures.
Pictures with a thousand words.
I might need somebody like to hold things up.
Somebody in the back want to crack a couple of windows so just get a little bit of airflow?
Okay. Kabbalah can be very complicated.
This is the complicated
this one. But then again, it could also be very simple. Okay? And this and this are, both of them together also represent the mem and the shin. Let me get over there, okay? So I'll be the mem, you be the shin. Okay? Shin consciousness is very complicated. It's like all this intellectual stuff, making all these connections between all these various different things. Mem, Chokhmah consciousness, is like the ability to see the similarities between all of these different things and get to the simplicity of it. Okay? Now, both perspectives are important. It's important to see all those distinctions, but it's also important to see how they're all part of a simple structure, a wholeness. And seeing with both eyes, just like in physical seeing, the fact that we see from with two eyes allows us to see in something is three-dimensional. So too, Kabbalah, using both Chokhmah and Bina, brings us into the Aleph. Okay? Okay. Everybody see this? Okay. You're all very serious.
Serious.
It is serious business, but I think the most serious business has to be approached in a playful way. And I feel very strongly that inspiration, that creativity has to be playful. Play and fun is a very important part of creativity. Okay? Like when we get too blocked or too set in our ways, we get like hardening of the arteries, of the creative arteries. And to connect to that vital force, that creative inspirational force, You have to be able to play and have fun. So I'm going to try to present to you a kind of playful approach to Kabbalah. We're going to get into very serious things in a playful way. Okay, some of you are not familiar with the Hebrew alphabet, is that true? Some of you are not familiar with the Hebrew alphabet, correct? So we've been speaking about Aleph, Mem, and Shin. And besides that they're related to these sounds, but you don't have a visual perspective of what these letters look like. Here we go. Okay. This is an Aleph. This is a Mem. This is a Shin. And Jerry said before, according to the Book of Creation, Sefer Yetzirah, Mem stands for Mayim, which means water. Shin stands for Esh, which means fire. And Aleph stands for Avir, which means air. So the three active forces. Okay, basically what I did as a visual artist, the connection that I made to this, the keys that allowed me to express these ideas in a graphic form, was connecting these three primary letters to the three primary colors. That was the first step. Now, Mem, which stands for water, and the sound of Mem is that harmonic hum. It's a calming type of sound, has a calming feeling. I related that to the color blue, because blue is also a calming color. Whereas Shin, or the sound of Shin, is a very active, chaotic type of sound. Of the three primary colors, red is the hottest color. Red. Yellow is balanced in between them. It's very, very interesting that in Hebrew, the word for light and the word for air is almost identical. And I think even in English, we speak of being light as air. And like Jerry said, both light and air are only experienced as an interaction, as a relationship, an interplay. Air, as far as the, personally speaking, as far as the breath is concerned, the breath is only because there is both the inhale and the exhale. And light is only perceived as absorption and emission. Colors are perceived only as this absorption and emission.
Can you tell people what the word, the actual words, how they're similar, the Hebrew words to air?
We have a blackboard. You see on the painting. Okay, this is the word. This is the word for light. And this is the word for air. Okay? These three letters are the same. The only difference is this little letter Yud that's hovering there in the air. The only letter that hovers in the Hebrew alphabet, the only letter that hovers in the air. Now this is interesting. The Hebrew word for water is mayim. Okay? Water also has three states. It has this fluid state, It has the solid state, and it has the state of steam. Okay, there's also thing floating down here. Okay. Okay. Aleph, Mem, and Shin. I have Aleph in the middle. Aleph represents that middle centered position. Mem is to the right. Shin is to the left. Now, right and left is a very relative thing. I think in a dictionary, right is only defined as the opposite of left, and left as the opposite of right. I don't think there can be any definition of left and right. It's relative. For example, when I say Mem is to the right here, right? Is it to the right?
Right.
Yeah?
Only from that perspective.
From your perspective.
Yeah.
It's on your right. From its perspective, it's on the left. This is a very important idea in Kabbalah, the idea of the interplay and the fluidity of being able to run and return, to see things from different perspectives. Like I think somebody said before that Shin made you feel like below. But Jerry said Shin is above.
Right.
That's okay.
I thought I was wrong.
Well, that's the whole idea. There's no such thing as right and wrong.
Well, it was vertical as opposed to the flat and up and down. Was the way you said it was.
Okay, this is the first connection to dealing with these concepts in a visual graphic way. These primary forces related to the primary colors, blue, red, and yellow. And this is the key to all of these paintings that I'm going to show you. Like this one over there. You see the blue Mem and the red Shin. And the Aleph is the totality of the whole thing. Because the nature of the Aleph, the shape of the Aleph, represents that unity of that which is above and that which is below. Notice how the Aleph here has this upper part, which is here is red, and the lower part, which is blue. Exactly as there. Or, you know, you could look at the Aleph this way, it doesn't matter. It's the same. Okay, let me just write this up on the board here. The light in the middle, we have light and air in the middle. We have water over here, the Mem, blue. We have fire down the left, red, and Shin. And this is yellow, Aleph. Okay, there's our balance, our harmony. This is the Jewish yin yang. Mem and Shin. All right. Let's contemplate this one for a little bit. What do you see?
Figure eight. Above.
Figure eight.
Eyes.
What's this symbol?
Infinity.
this is a symbol for infinity, this is a symbol for the number 8. Is there a connection between the sign of infinity and the number 8? Anybody have any ideas? You ever think about that?
There's no beginning and no end.
The sign of infinity, there's no beginning and there's and
but
no end.
But also to the physically drawing the number 8, there's really no beginning and no end of it.
But why is that?
You continue on.
Why is that? Anybody knows any connection to...
The scale, 8 notes in the scale, octave, 1 octave.
Very good. Also the fact that we view this world, we have like cycles of 7, days of the week. Seven days of the week, and 7 planets, and I believe it's related to the way that we perceive the universe. We perceive the universe through 7 gates. 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, and a mouth. These are like the gates of our perception, and they're 7. That's why it's natural that we have 7 days in our week. It's also 7 planets that are visible to us. Sefer Yetzirah, of course, the Book of Creation, deals with all of these things. There's another connection between infinity and the number 8. Okay, we spoke about primary colors and primary elements and the primary letters of the Hebrew alphabet. As an artist, I deal with colors and with shapes. Colors and shapes. And just like there's 3 primary colors, there's 3 primary shapes. What are the 3 primary shapes?
Circle, square, triangle.
Yeah, we have to go back to kindergarten. Isn't there a book that like everything that I needed in life I learned in kindergarten? We have to start thinking like in a very primary way, because these concepts are very universal, and to be universal they have to have a large common denominator. Like it'd be very simple, very basic, and primary. The primary shapes are
circle,
square, and triangle. Is there a relation? Does anybody see a relationship between
on the board these 3 letters? Shin, Mem, and Aleph.
Which is which?
I had a stray thought related to your 7 gates.
Okay.
And the number 8 is going beyond those perceptions, those 5 senses, and those 7 gates. So it's one more.
Beautiful.
To go to infinity.
Beautiful. See, our world, the world that we perceive through our senses, is very much this dynamic interplay between the left and the right. Right? And between the hot and the cold, and the whole and the parts, similarity and difference. Okay.
Very interesting circle.
I didn't get the 8. You said 7, but what's the 8? Because it goes beyond?
Okay, how many sides does the triangle have? 3. That's how I'm talking to PhD.
Mem, a square has four sides, and a circle is one side, or infinite sides. As infinite, it relates to infinity. So when you take 3 plus 7, which is that interplay between the mem and the shin, and you see it as being one, being a unity, not seeing them in conflict, as being opposites, but by being polar partners in this play of life, you get 8, which is related to infinity. Three, four, and zero. Okay, in Hebrew, the Hebrew language, the letters are used for both letters and numbers. So every letter has a number value. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet. Its numerical value is 1. The numerical value of mem is 40. The numerical value of shin is 300. Besides bearing out the shape relationship, you also have something about the single digits and the tens and the hundreds. Just like shin is that multiplicity of many things, and moving from the shin to the mem simplifies, and then moving from the mem to the aleph totally unifies. You come to one unity. Okay, compare these two. Or is it like this? Okay, which is above, and think about red and blue. Which is above and which is below? Which is above and which is below?
Depends whether you're looking in the inner circle or the outer circle.
Well, which is on the inside, the blue or the red? Right. See, that's the whole point. They're both on the inside, they're both on the outside. The letter 8 is also a Möbius strip. I think that's also how it represents in infinity. You take a piece of paper that has two sides, and you put this little playful twist in it, and two sides become one side. This is like one of the key teachings of the Kabbalah, being fluid. To be able to see things from this perspective, see things from the other perspective, which opens up a whole new dimension. We're going to speak about also multi-dimensional things. So we'll put this up here. Not enough. Doesn't matter. Okay, Jerry mentioned the tree of life diagram. Tree of Life diagram. How many people are familiar with this type of diagram? Most everybody. Okay. How does this feel for you? Remember how we felt the sounds of the Aleph, Mem, and Shin? Feel what's going on here. Right? Try and take what you've heard about the letters and what you've seen about the colors and what you felt about that. And what does this say to you?
It's all inclusive.
Well, the first thing that one notices is that that on one column there's a predominance of red, on another column there's a predominance of blue.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of the line with that. Right? Mm-hmm. To align it down there, I mean, we have to sort of go like this. Mm-hmm. Right or not right? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. Because there's also, here's a shin. Everybody sees the shin here? And the mem there. And the olive with that. That's also in line. There's alignment both in the horizontal and there's alignment in the vertical. What happens with the diagonals?
Triangles. Zero.
These diagonals, they're made from the secondary colors. They're blends. They're blends of the red with the yellow and the green with the yellow. We'll get to the complementary colors in a bit. Okay, your comment was looking at it and breaking it down into parts. Look at the whole thing. And what kind of feeling? I mean, what word, like, you know, free associate?
Dynamism.
Fluidity.
Dynamism.
Layering.
Chocolate.
Uniformness.
What did you say?
Interacting.
Interconnectedness. All of these are aspects of what this diagram represents. What about, well, like there's a lot of movement.
Activity.
Like energy vortices, like waves and particles.
Relationships.
And relationships.
I think chakras.
Jewish chakras.
Right? Penguins. It's all valid. Everything is valid. The whole thing is like to try and integrate everything. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about electricity. Electricity. It's or light. How is light defined today? Electromagnetism. Right?
Mm-hmm. There are still two competing concepts of waves and photons or particles. And somehow both of these exist at the same time or coexist.
Okay. I don't agree with you.
Okay.
I don't believe that they're in competition anymore. I believe that modern science has sort of shown that they're both there. Until this century, there was this competition of is it waves or is it particles? But today it's been shown to be both. You agree with that? not only that wave, that wave is shown to be both wave and particles, but energy has been shown to be matter, and matter is energy. A simple way, in modern terms, that Joey spoke about the shin as related to the body, and the mem as water, but he can also speak about the shin as energy, and the mem as matter. And you could also speak about it in terms of waves and particles. Water is a connotation of wave, as an undifferentiated medium, and a particle is like a particular of it. Like shin is a particular. A laser beam. Okay, the Hebrew word for electricity, anybody know?
Chesh.
It's spelled like this. Chesh. Mao. Hebrew reads from right to left. In English, it's like this. Hash. Hash. Mao. There again, you have the sound of the shin is predominant in the beginning. Hash. And the sound of the mem is predominant in the end. Mal. Okay? Now, in what we've been speaking, how mem is like the more the humming sound, the more focused, calming, grounded sound, and shin is like a louder white noise type of sound. But interesting enough, chash in Hebrew means silence, and mal means speaking. So that chash mal means speaking silence. There's another interplay. In the first chapter of Ezekiel, he has a prophetic vision that's described there in great detail. It's one of the sources of Kabbalah, the Merkava experience, and the prophet Ezekiel, like the gateway into the prophetic space. It's that interplay between the two things that brings down the third. Okay, Sefer Yetzirah tells us, like Jerry said, understand, says be wise with understanding, and understand with wisdom. The Book of Creation, Sefer Yetzirah, that all of this is based upon, tells us make that interplay, use our right brain, embed our right brain into our left brain, and our left brain into our right brain. Make that interplay, unify the two opposites, and get to get to the unity. I. A. Kaplan defines wisdom. Wisdom, of course, is the mem. He defines wisdom as similarity. Similarity, understanding is different. I recently read a book by David Bohm and David Peake called Science, Order, and Creativity. Are you familiar with that book? In there he defines order. And what is his definition of order? Similar difference and different similarity. He talks about perception as a creative process. He says that when we perceive something with our senses, the sensory input is only a small portion of the image, that order that is formed in our minds. A large part of it is our creative active process of interpreting the sensory input. And the process of interpreting the sensory input is similar differences and different similarities. For example, when I look out upon a room, first thing I notice is differences. It allows me to distinguish between people and chairs or windows and blackboards. That's the first that I see the differences, that this is different from that. But then I see similarities, right? I see that there's similarities. All of these are people, right? But then I see there. It's a constant dynamic process that is going on in our minds. Similar difference and different similarity.
Isn't that also directly connected with the two ways of perceiving God? The distinction and the non-distinction? The oneness? Like both happening sort of at the same time?
I think it has to do with our dynamic struggle of our self and our being something and our being like nothing in the face of the infinite. Yes, it's related to that. This afternoon we spoke about the relationship between Keter and Malkut. In this diagram, just for those who don't know the spheriotic tree, this represents Keter. The yellow, this represents Chochma, wisdom. Keter means crown. This represents Bina, understanding. Here is the place of Da'at, or knowledge. It's the interface between the right brain and the left brain. This is really the place of our consciousness, where the blue and the red meet. We'll get back to that in a bit. This is chesed, or love. This is gevura, or strength. This is tiferet, beauty. This is netzach, eternity, or victory. This is hod, which means thanks, or empathy. All of many different meanings. This is Yisod, foundation. And this is Malchut, kingship. There's different dimensions expressed here in the spheriotic tree. I think the most basic and primary is the relationship between the highest sphera and the lowest sphera. here they're portrayed as complementary colors. Yellow above and purple below. Okay.
In the trade is kept down. Here is Malchut.
Very in the Zohar, Malchut is spoken of as Ani, which means I. Ani. Now when the Zohar tells us that, the way the perspective of the Zohar is explaining the Bible, and the idea is that any place in the Torah, any place in the Bible, that the word Ani is used, it relates to Malchut. And that's true about all these, all the